following is a recording for Manuel Perez with IR Strat on Friday, July 24th, 2020 at 9:01 a.m. Central Time. I would like to turn the call over to Enrique Barrera, the Investor Relations Officer of the company. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Mayor, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that with this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future forward-looking statements do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Mayor for this presentation. Enrique, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. It is nice to have you here with us today, and we hope that you are fine and healthy, as well as relative friends and colleagues. Let me tell you that our main purpose today in this call is to provide you information about three important points. The first one is that after more than 3 months of making tough decisions and preparing the company for a not easy and very long journey, we feel prepared to make it through the crisis. The second one, we have defined a clear strategy and we have started to see some results, so we will show you during the call. And the third purpose is that we want to be very clear about what to expect for the rest of the year. So let me start with our strategy. Our strategy has always been a long-term strategy, and we are taking all the actions to assure our performance and strength for the long run. As we defined since our last call, our strategy is based on addressing the following 5 points. The first one, we want our staff and clients to be protected and healthy. And with all the protocols and preventive measures, we are trying to protect customers as well as our staff to get infected. Second, we redefine the way we operate under the new conditions. So Patricio will talk in detail about the products and the processes and how we have been redefining the way we operate. The third point of our strategy is that we want to make sure that Gentera has the strong financial position needed to face the uncertain and challenging times that we are facing and for the rest of the years until a vaccine is available. The fourth point of our strategy is that we are going to capture the opportunities and efficiencies that the new context and challenges will reveal to us as part of the new way of operating. And finally, the fifth point of our strategy is that we are intensifying our leadership and communication among our team and with our customers in a two-way communication channel. So let me give you some basic information about the status of our staff and clients regarding the COVID pandemic and the health issues. From our more than 22,000 staff members in the three countries in which we operate, we are sorry to inform that we have 9 colleagues that have died because of the COVID virus, 8 in Mexico and 1 in Guatemala. On the other hand, we have 451 staff members infected at this point in time. But on the other hand, we have 547 colleagues that have been already recuperated from the virus. And talking about clients, it is very difficult to have a precise number in terms of infected people, but we estimate that we have 13,945 clients infected based on the official numbers for each country. But unfortunately, we know that 560 clients have died from COVID virus as of this week's report. 350 in Mexico, 203 in Peru, and 7 in Guatemala. We are aware this is an everyday evolving situation. However, we believe we have been managing the health crisis situation with effective control and protocols. Talking about our operations, during this last month, we stood for our customers with flexible plans to help them maintain their loan and their business running. This includes extended tenors and grace periods. But Patricio will talk in detail about this, so I will let him to do it in the following segment. I want to point out how our financial position looks. We closed the first half of the year in a very strong position. At the bank level, we have been able to increase our liquidity by more than 10 times. Our capitalization index for Compartamos Banco remains close to 35%, even after 3 months of providing our clients flexibility on their payments. We also increased the capital of Financiera Compartamos in Peru, reaching a capitalization index of 23%. One of the most solid capitalization levels among the financial institutions in Peru. We were also able to increase our provisions by more than 100%, and Mario will give you more detail about this. We also issued debt for 1.8 billion pesos in the Mexican local market just a few weeks ago. And finally, we have been able to improve our debt maturity profile with commercial and development banks, and our next long-term bond matures in the first quarter of 2022. Mario will provide more detailed information about this, so let me now go to some corporate information that it is also interesting. On June 13th, we closed the process to sell 100% of the shares of Pagos Intermex to Transnetwork for 241 million pesos. Remember that we started this process on the second half of 2019, and despite the uncertain environment that we are living, everything was completed successfully. And regarding Concredito, on June 15th, Quintera converted the debt of 656 million pesos to obtain an additional 8.3% of the company's equity. So as of today, we own the 45% of Concredito. And we are very close to obtain the 51% of the company equity during the following weeks. So what can we expect for the rest of the year? Let me tell you that we are still forecasting based on different scenarios, depending on two things. The first one, how the economy will reactivate, and it seems that it's going to be slowly. And the second one, how our customer responds to our credit plan, that up to now, Patricio will tell you that it seems very positive. We believe a full recovery of the economy will take at least 18 months. So this means not only 2020, but also 2021. We estimate that Gentera's loan portfolio, including Concredito consolidation, will remain flat in a year-to-year comparison. And during this year, Banco Compartamos portfolio could contract around 20% in a year-to-year basis. We understand that for the following months, our main focus has to be on three things. The first one, support our customers with the adequate loan amount to provide them liquidity without compromising their payment capacity. Second, we need to perform a very close and effective control of the quality of our portfolios. We feel comfortable since we know our microfinance operating team is the best in class. And third, since our portfolio will have a contraction, we will continue reducing our expenses to mitigate the impact in revenue, and we will continue improving our future efficiencies. Patricio will provide you the status of the business in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala. But before, let me just point out that in the last 4 months, we have been making some very tough decisions, maybe the most tough decisions in our careers. Some of them have had an impact in our short-term financial results. However, we are convinced that we have been doing the right thing for our customers and for Gentera in the long run. So having said that, I will turn now the call to Patricio, and he will give you more detail about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera. With no doubt, this quarter has been one of the most demanding in Gentera's history, and we are certain that there are still social and economic challenges ahead as a result of the pandemic. Therefore, we have been very cautious and have taken clear actions on the field with our clients and employees to overcome these difficult times. As we communicated in our previous conference call, we designed a plan that is divided in different stages to deal with this pandemic. The first stage started at the beginning of the second quarter and was designed with the objective of containing and maintaining our customer base. In late March, we launched a program that allowed customers to defer their principal and interest payments while the social distancing measures were deployed in Peru, Guatemala, and Mexico. As a result of the program, in the case of Mexico, 64% of the customers took the benefits during April and May, while 36% of our customers kept paying normally. In the case of Peru, 90% of the customers took these benefits. In Mexico, on June 5th, we concluded the 10-week period that we gave to the customers, and the collections were reactivated. In the case of Peru and Guatemala, the deferral process concluded at the end of the month and gave us the opportunity to start the second stage of the plan. The second stage is focused on restructuring our customers and give them some flexibility to deal with a weaker economy. The alternatives that we are currently offering are, first, pay normally, as some customers can pay as they contracted their loans. Second, to extend the tenor of the loans to reduce the weekly, monthly, or bi-weekly installments. And third, additional grace period for those customers that cannot afford to make their payments. The acceptance of these alternatives has been encouraging. In Mexico, at the end of May, we had 64% of the portfolio deferred. On June 12th, 1 week after we concluded the deferral process, we had around 9 billion pesos of NPLs in the 8 to 90-day bucket. Today, we have 2.9 billion pesos in the 8 to 90-day bucket. This is a 70% reduction in less than 2 months. During this quarter, the restructuring process will continue. We are focused on this delinquent portfolio, but we are certain that the contraction in the NPLs will continue during the third quarter, where we expect to have most of these customers restructured as we physically visit them in the coming weeks. We must be close to our customers and give them alternatives to maintain their credit on time. To do so, during the quarter, we plan to deploy further benefits to the customers to make sure that they can restart their business fast and repay their loans. Due to the short-term nature of the portfolio, we expect to finalize the restructuring process at the end of September, While we are doing this process on the ground, we have also run different stress scenarios. And even if the cost of risk doubles from previous year, the capitalization index for the bank would be higher than 25%, which would keep Banco Compartamos as one of the best capitalized banks in the country. Furthermore, the provision show at the end of the of June has no regulatory benefit. As such, the reserves reported on the balance sheet are those required to absorb potential losses as the non-performing portfolio ages. This is the reason why they spike on June. The third stage will be to reactivate customers and try to gain market share in the three countries, given the fact that most of our competitors are facing operational and financial difficulties. In this stage, it is crucial to keep providing clients with credit in order to maintain their business running, which opens the door for further portfolio growth. The third stage will be implemented in the last month of this year and the first semester of 2021. We are certain that we will capitalize the lessons learned during these challenging times and materialize in a faster pace the progress we've made to digitize our operation to recover faster and with a more efficient portfolio growth in the coming year. We recognize that the economic activity will suffer during the following quarters as a consequence of the GDP contraction seen in the three countries where we operate. But we also know that the micro-entrepreneurs can adapt relatively fast to the new economic conditions. And this is what they have proven us in the past since they sell basic goods and they do not have fixed costs or large infrastructures behind their businesses. We reinforce our commitment with our 3.6 million clients, with our staff and stakeholders. We are sure that the need for financial products and services will be present more than ever in the coming months, and we are sure that with our motivated and committed team and with our strong capital and liquidity position will be key in propelling our leadership position in providing financial opportunities to our current and future customers. This is all for my remarks. I will now turn the call over to Mario Langarica to review Gentera's financials for the first half of the year. Once again, thank you all for your attention, and this is all for my remarks.
Thank you very much, Anderson Patricio, and good day to everyone. I hope that you and your family are well through this contingency. This time, I will address my remarks and talk about liquidity, funding, and allowances before presenting relevant income statement balance sheet metrics for Gentera's second quarter 20 and first semester 20 results following the actions that Enrique and Patricio have described above. As mentioned in our last conference call, one of the first actions that we took at our main subsidiary was to increase our levels of liquidity to allow each group to have sufficient cash flow capacity to implement the deferral and refinancing programs designed specifically for our clients and products in line with each country's regulator contingency measures. At second quarter 20, we have multiplied our cash position almost three times to amount 23,798 million pesos in Gentera compared to second Q 19, more than three times in both in Banco Compartamos and Compartamos Financiera. At second Q 20, we have a very strong liquidity position to face further challenges and or to support additional or complementary programs for our clients and, at the appropriate time, resume and restart growth. Permanent focus to our cash flows in portfolio collections and disbursements, liability payments, and operational expenses has been key to ensure strong levels of liquidity. Access to funding has been key to provide our subsidiaries with the liquidity described above. During this complex period, we have been able to increase deposits 52%, to dispose and maintain open lines of credit with commercial and development banks, increasing that line to 103%, and also to access the debt capital market in an increasing long-term debt of 5.5%. We have also made special emphasis refinancing our debt term profile in Mexico. In June, we refinanced our maturing Compartamos 15 bond, which final amortization of 1,000 million pesos is this August, with a new 5-year fixed rate bond amounting to 1,960 million pesos. Our next amortization of our long-term bond will happen until March 2022, and that will be of around 1,250 million pesos. Regarding commercial and development bank liabilities, we have less than 3,000 million maturing between today and December 2021, out of which one-third, 950 million, are multiple short-term commercial banking loans, having our next long-term relevant maturity until September 2021 of 700 million pesos. It's important to note that these lines are revolving, both the banking and the development bank in nature, and we expect to renew them as they mature, as each disposal matures. Access to funding remains open, and we have also been exploring additional new sources of funding to be used if appropriate. Allowances for loan losses, as we explained in our last conference call, and using the regulatory facilities available in each country, amount to 4,500 million in the second quarter 20, representing 88.8% increase to the levels of the second quarter in 2019. Last quarter, we explained that in Mexico we created precautionary provisions to apply to past dues as the first phase deferral program finished. As explained by Patricia, the 10-week deferral period finished in Mexico in early June. And by the end of the month, we have calculated the reserves using the normal regulatory methodology required for the 75% current portfolio and the 25% refinancing portions of the portfolio described above. For Peru, we still have incremental allowances as of second quarter 20 of 279 million pesos. The coverage ratio for Gentera amounted to 291.3% as of second quarter 20. While the loan portfolio grew 10.5% in second Q of this year compared to last year, the Mexican portfolio had a 5.8% contraction. Looking at the income statement for the first semester of the year, interest income decreased 6.4%, mainly driven by the reduction in the Mexican portfolio and the first phase deferral program in the three countries. Interest expense grew 2.1%, mainly driven by the increased liquidity described above. Provision for loan losses increased 112%, and operational expenses decreased 3.8%. All of this resulted in a net income of 57 million pesos as of June 2020, compared to 1,558 million pesos in the same period last year. In second Q, the company posted a 730 million pesos loss compared to 720 million profit reaching 2019, second quarter 2019. This is our first loss ever reported in a quarter, and it relates to the impact generated by the sanitary contingency, mainly at the interest income level and provision, as also described above by Enrique and Patrick. Finally, regarding capitalization level, as of second Q20, Entera has a very strong capital position with more than 21 billion pesos, and that is basically capital between total assets of 30%, Banco Compartamos Mexico has an ICAP ratio of 35.8% and Compartamos Financiera in Peru a capitalization index of 23%. This strong capital position has allowed us to keep a solid operation and access to funding even in this volatile and uncertain time. It's important to note that on May 25, Gentera made an initial capitalization to Peru in the amount of 720 million pesos. As explained above, in the scenario where we reach a loan portfolio for Gentera similar to the closing of 2019, with a double the cost of risk guided at the beginning of the year, and with operational expenses growing below inflation, we would expect that our internal capitalization limit of 25% in Mexico and 17% in Peru would remain above this limit, covering even for potential losses by the end of the year. We're focusing our loan officers to the refinement of the portfolio at risk to minimize these potential losses, as explained by Patricio and Enrique. We are sure that with the plan described above and supported by a strong capital and liquidity position, we will navigate this volatile and uncertain time, returning in the future to the growth and profit levels that we were moving towards before this pandemic starts. Thank you all for your attention. That is all for my presentation, and we can now move to the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We have our first question.
Hi, Patricio, Enrique, Mario. Thank you for taking my question. So now that the Peruvian operations have become more relevant, and I think that now they make up for like 44% of your loan portfolio, and you have increased capitalization in that business. So with that in mind, can you provide us with some color on how the operations are doing there? And remind us what portion of clients have applied for the grace period, how is the payment behavior from the clients evolving in that subsidiary. And also, I would like to know whether the grace periods are any different from what was offered in Mexico.
Thank you. I couldn't hear your second question. Could you repeat it back, please?
Yes, of course. So what I was asking was first if you can provide us more color on how the operations in Peru are doing. Then
yeah, the Peru,
what portion of the clients apply for grace periods there, and how is the payment behavior from the clients evolving there? And if the grace periods offered in Peru are any different from what was offered in Mexico?
Okay. In the case of Peru had social distancing measures until June 30th, right? So since mid March until that date, the customers were put on hold. 90% of the customers asked for the deferral of their payment, right? So at the beginning of this month, July, we started the restructuring process. As you know, in Peru, 80% of the portfolio is individual lending. Also in Peru, different from Mexico, the restructuring process is something that it's part of the business operation. They've done it throughout their history, so this is something that they know to do well, to reprogram credit. So during July and also during the third quarter, they will be knocking, and they are starting knocking on every customer's business to try to restart their credit. And that's the process that they are going on as we speak. Of course, as the individual lending is devoted for more established kind of businesses, we expect that from 80% of the portfolio that represents that product, it will come down to close to 70% during the coming months. The portfolio will be shipped from individual to group lending. As you know, the group lending methodology has been very well accepted in the Peruvian market. We opened in the last 12 months offices to serve customers in this product. The demand and growth in Crédito Mujer has been exponential in the last 3 years, and we expect to continue growing this piece of the portfolio in the second half of the year. So just to answer shortly, the mix will change. It will reduce the piece of the individual lending more towards group lending to control asset quality. The restructuring process is going on. And also the same measures that we took in Mexico, we've taken those in Peru. Excess provisioning, excess liquidity, a strong capitalization. And that's the standpoint for the Peruvian business to deal with the restructuring process. So we feel confident that also in Peru, the business will be doing well. However, again, as it happens in Mexico, provisioning will continue to be high at high levels for the coming quarters. But again, we also in Peru see an opportunity to serve customers, and as we deploy both individual and group lending, and the market gets weaker. I'm talking about the rest of the competitors.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Next question.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario. My first question is on the macro side. Economists are expecting GDP contraction of around 10% this year and only a recovery of around 2% next year. Do you think the economic recovery will new ones to your own client base? There's really small origination in new clients. So to what extent should we think the new origination of loans would be possible starting next quarter? Or do you think it is uncertain given the complexity of the economy reopening and the shape of the recovery for Mexico? And then my last question is, when do you expect to have the fixing provision charges, or do you think it's still difficult to know until we have more visibility after ending the reprogramming and the restructuring of the portfolio? Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. This is Patricio. The first question, no? The GDP contraction, it will be double digit. It's expected to be double digit, not only in Mexico, but Peru and Guatemala. And of course, the economic conditions are sluggish for the coming quarters. However, as we said in the past, despite such impacts on the macro level, the type of businesses that our customers have are very basic in nature, no? So they can adapt, and they have adapted already to the economic circumstances. So they are flexible enough to shift from one type of business to another depending on the economic cycle. Therefore, we think that they do use their business to make their living, right? So they will demand credit. They will also be willing to take more as they see that the economic activity increases. And more so,
the addressable market has increased, you know, as formal jobs get lost, as it has happened during the first semester. People from the formal world move to the informal world, and ask for working capital loans, right? So the addressable market is bigger already. The competitive landscape is weaker. So we do see an opportunity where more customers will demand working capital loans for basic activities. And that's the market opportunity that we see for the end of the year and most notably during the entire 2021, right? So we expect to come back after this pandemic with a growth momentum for starting in the fourth quarter and during the entire 2021 year, and not only in Mexico, again in Guatemala and Peru. So the opportunity is large enough, and during these economic circumstances gets larger, and this is why we are taking every measure to protect our financial strength to be able to deal with such market opportunity.
Regarding the refinancing of the portfolio and the provisions, basically, as I mentioned before, for the case of Mexico, as of June, we're already using the normal methodology to calculate our allowances and provisions based on the non-performing loans that we're seeing at their different buckets. For the next month, obviously, as Patricio mentioned, we are going to be very focused in trying to refinance as much as possible of the portfolio as we can with all the programs that we have proposed to the clients. And the NPL formation in Mexico will continue at the levels that the methodology requires. In the case of Peru and Guatemala, as we have just started the second phase, we will start also using these regulatory methodologies to calculate that. We expect still to have more formation on the next two quarters, but we're going to be very focused on minimizing that. So that will be our answer to your question.
Thank you very much, Patricio and Mario.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you.
Next question.
Operator, can you provide us the name of the person who is asking, please? That would be very useful. Thanks.
We now have a question from Luis Yanks. Compass.
Oh, hi, guys. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my questions and hope you're doing well. Just two questions on my side, and the first one on the provisions, and probably building on what was asked before. You mentioned, Mario, you already booked, you know, 4.5 billion pesos on allowances so far. Do you get a feeling that's enough based on your expectations going forward, or how should we think about provisions for this year? You mentioned a couple of times that under your stress scenarios, if the cost of risk goes up twice, you know, your capitalization stays healthy. I was wondering if two times the provisions you booked last year is a good reference that's been so far the first half, or you feel you've booked enough provisions at this point. So just to get a, you know, I understand it's hard to forecast at this point, but just to get a sense of where provisions might go and whether the extra provisions will go on into 2021 as well. That'll be my first question.
And this is Patricio. Let me try to complement what Mario just said. As you know, at portfolio ages in days of arrears, we need to provision more every time. Current portfolio has less provision than 180 days. A portfolio of delinquent customers. Therefore, the goal today is to keep keep this 8 to 90 day bucket, as I said during our remarks, we have in Mexico 2.9 billion pesos in portfolio in that bucket. As that bucket ages towards the 90th or 120, 180 days, we will need to provision more towards that amount of money, right? So it will depend on how successful are we in the restructuring process during the third quarter. So this is why we think that the peak of provisioning could come in this third and fourth quarter. But again, right, just to put in the size of the effort, it's towards that 2.9 billion delinquent portfolio, which was deferred and today needs to be restructured. If we're successful during the third quarter, we expect that the provisioning of those 2.9 billion pesos is the lowest amount of money. But again, as we said during our remarks, even if we provision 100% of it, the capitalization for the rent would never go below 25%.
Great. Thanks a lot for the caller, Patricia. And I guess a related question to that, I mean, you mentioned that 64% of your portfolio in Mexico was deferred back in April, and you're in the process of restructuring. I understand you're early in that process, but if you could share with us, you know, what you've been able to restructure so far, how does it look
right.
like? I know you've given a couple of options. Are people taking more the pay normally kind of option? What percentage of people are taking that versus what percentage of people are actually asking for additional grace periods? Thank you.
Right. And so we released on June 5th, we stopped the deferral process, right? And on June 12th, the very next week after we concluded that deferral, we had 9.5 billion pesos of non-performing loans, 9.5. In 7 weeks, and I'm talking numbers of today, we have 2.9 billion pesos of delinquent portfolio in Mexico. So the reduction from 9.5 to 2.9 has been close to 70% in less than 2 months. So given the fact that our portfolio is very short-term in nature, so this is why we think that June, July, August, and September, it's good enough in order to restructure 100% of the customers or not, right? So the third quarter will be critical for that, but just to send the clear message, we've been able in 7 weeks to reduce the non-performing loans by 70% after the deferral, and this is something that we will continue as we start physically visiting customers from August till September.
Great. Thanks a lot, Patricia, for the caller.
Thank you, Luis.
Next question comes from Alonso, UBS.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody, and hi, Patricio and Mario. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to understand the NPL dynamic going forward, because one of the tradable Mexican banks just released its guidance for this year, along with the earnings results for this Q, showing some trends for NPLs, provision, operating expenses, loans, among others. So I just wanted to hear from you all the expectation for this year in terms, at least for the NPL trend, because in this quarter, even considering the incentives and the credit relief program of the bank, the delinquency deteriorated. So please, any color on the asset quality of the bank going forward would be great, and especially if you could share with us what are the expectations for more normalized level for ROEs going forward. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. So what I would tell you is that, as Patricio has described, we wouldn't expect in the worst case more than double cost of risk. So that should be more or less what we should be expecting. In terms of ROE, I understand that was our profitability going forward. Obviously, as Enrique mentioned at the beginning, our medium and long-term strategy has not changed. We believe that we have very, very strong opportunity to pick up in 2021 and going forward and go back to the level of growth and performance that we were showing at 2019 and early this year. If we hadn't had this contingency, the first quarter would have been our second best ever. So obviously our target is to go back to those levels as soon as possible. But now, obviously, the focus is on what we have described before.
Okay, thank you very much. So if you allow me the second question, it's more related on the credit relief program of the bank. I couldn't find any information related to how much of the bank's credit portfolio was renegotiated or deferred. So could you please share with us the percentage of the total loans that were renegotiated? So, I mean, that were enrolled in the credit relief program of the bank?
Yes. Again, we took the benefit, the regulatory benefit, during March, April, and May. During that period, again, 64% of the customers decided to defer their payment. On June 5th, we stepped out of the regulatory benefit, and now we are trying to offer alternatives to our customer base in order to maintain their credit on time. Again, as I said, more than 75% today of the portfolio is current, and we expect to increase that in the coming quarter. But the financial numbers that you saw as of June, they do not have any regulatory benefit at all, right? So the provisioning and the portfolio, everything is reported as per the banking regulations without any benefit. And simply, we already are in the new process of restructuring. And as I said, this is something that will happen during the third quarter of 2020.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Alonso Garcia, Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. My first question would be regarding Peru. I mean, in the case of Mexico, you already kind of provided some your worst-case scenario, which would be to provision the full amount of the 2.9 million pesos you have in early delinquency. But in the case of Peru, do you have a sense of what could be a base case and a worst-case scenario? I know it's more difficult in the case of Peru as it takes longer for you to gather the information, given that installments are due monthly as opposed to weekly, but I don't know if you have any kind of sense on that. And just quickly, my second question would be, if you only provided discounts to continued paying, or if you also provided discounts to the client that took the grace period. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Alonso, this is Patricia. I will jump into the Peruvian one, but I couldn't hear your second question.
Sure. Thank you, Patricia. My second question was regarding the big decline in your loan yield from around 57% in the first quarter to 38% in the second quarter. just wanted to understand the nature of that decline and the timing for the recovery of that loan. I wanted to understand if you all only provided discounts to the clients that continued paying, or if you also provided discounts to the clients that took the grace period.
So in the first jump to Peru, no? In the case of Peru, as I mentioned before, Alonso, the restructuring process is something that is part of the Peruvian microfinance industry for so many years, right? So the Compartamos Financiera, their loan officers and their customers are well used to reprogramming loans as they face with certain difficulties, right? So the individual piece of the portfolio is something that we are doing as we speak. No, as I said, 90% of the customers defer the loans with Compartamos Financiera. We started in July in order to get those loans back or to reprogram those. But again, today it's early to tell, but close to, from that 90% of the customers, 30% today, as of the end of June, 30% started to repay their loans, and this is something that will continue to ramp up as we deploy those benefits in the coming weeks or months. Of course, the provisioning is something that could put pressure in means for the Peruvian business. We don't foresee a scenario where the capitalization that we currently have gets affected. The Peruvian business will keep their above average capitalization at the end of 2020. As you know, Compartamos Financiera today with 23% is one of the best capitalized institutions in the Peruvian market. And the minimum threshold there that we have is around 19%. So that's kind of the base for the Peruvian business at the end of 2020. So we, again, will protect the individual piece so much. We will be more careful in asset quality rather than growth for that piece of the business, and this is why the mix of the portfolio in Peru will be, instead of 80-20 individual group lending, it will move to 70-30 at the end of this week year. Sorry. So this is a little bit of the dynamics of the Peruvian business. And again, no, as I said before, liquidity, provisioning, and capitalization is something that we also reinforce in the Peruvian business, and they are very well prepared to do the restructuring process in the second half of 2020.
Regarding the yield, the most relevant impact to the yield was the reduction in interest income, obviously, as explained before. And it was, yes, a combination of the reduction in prices in order to incentivize clients to take current. But that was a 10% reduction in Mexico. Most of the reduction came from the referral process itself, and also for the reduction of the average portfolio. So we expect that you will come back as soon as we start recovering normal operations, probably next year. And we don't expect that the cost of risk in Peru, as Patricio was saying, double. It would be a little less of that. So we will be considering that in the expected results of the Peruvian future.
Thank you. Just to clarify, you mentioned that the effect of the deferral portfolio also affected the loan yield, but just to be clear, you did the accrual of the interest, right, or not?
yeah, by internet generated group.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Yuri, JP Morgan.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have actually two follow-ups because things are a bit confusing here for me. The first one is a follow-up in Alonso's on the pre-provision operating profit. Again, this was a big drop this quarter. NII was down. I guess it was clear for me that you explained this was mainly because of the deferral program. But what to expect for the coming quarters? It's not clear for me because I still see a lot of headwinds on margins. Like in Peru, we have Reactiva that should be a headwind. The increase on NPL should imply more non-accrual loans for you. So the balance should continue to be weak. So the point is, like, should we continue to see NII dropping those 25% year over year for the full year and just normalizing for the next year? So the first question is how to think about pre-provision operating profit for Gentera. And my second question is a follow-up on asset quality. I think, like, the collection level of Compartamos today is around 75% of the loans. So you still have like 25% of the portfolio that you are working. I think this number is related to the 9.5 billion in June you mentioned that was able to somewhat improve, and that now you have like 3 billion in problematic assets that is more concerning to you. So my question is, how do you think of cost of risk? I understand that in Peru you mentioned that cost of risk may double. But in Mexico, what should we expect? Like I guess the trend is negative, right? Like cost of risk should be higher in the second half of the year. But how much higher the total entity combined should be the cost of risk? Thank you.
Okay. Well, again, for provisions, we expect them still to grow at the rhythm of the loan portfolio as it starts to age. The combination of both the Mexican provisioning and the combination of the provisioning in Peru is that what gives us for that 25% of the portfolio that is being refinanced here and what we expect to refinance in Peru, that combination gives us a level of cost of risk of double. So that implies that we will have still some incremental provisions at both countries. On the NII, again, the NII is affected first by the level of interest income that, as we mentioned again, based on the expectations for growth in Mexico and for Inter in general, and as we, in the scenario that we are reviewing, basically means that Gentera would stay at the same level of portfolio compared to the closing of 2019, and that probably would represent a reduction in Mexico loan portfolio or minus 20. That would be that cost an impact in NII, and obviously again at the level of the provision, we would have the impact of the provisioning for the rest of the year. Again, all of this impact will impact the net income of the company, and probably we will, as I said before, feel very comfortable that the level of capitalization that we have will be about 25% in Mexico and 17% in Peru.
And
Yuri, just to jump in on the asset quality side, as I said, on the result of the pandemic was translated in today 2.9 billion pesos in the delinquent portfolio in the 8 to 90 day bucket, right? If we are successful in restructuring such pieces, no, because the rest of the portfolio is current and is doing as we've always had. So the focus is on those 2.9 billion pesos. If we are successful, the impact would be less than that, and part of that provisioning is already on the balance sheet. But let's say that we need to provision 100% of it. As Mario said, the cost of risk, of course, could double, but the capitalization ratio for the land would never go below 25%. More importantly, again, this is the result of economic conditions that were prevalent during the social distancing period, right? So the new origination is doing as well as we've done during 30 years. And even if we, as Ernesto asked me before, the provisioning, we need to provision 100% of the delinquent loans by the end of this year, right? So if we are or not successful in restructuring that piece, 100% of the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic will be impacted in the 2020 results. For the coming year, the new origination, the new price points, the new should look more or less what we've seen throughout the history of Compartamos, right? This is a specific impact of that amount of money for the social distancing measures that were taken mostly in Mexico, and that affected the business of our customers during the last 3 to 4 months, right? So just to give a little bit of dimension of what you should expect and what could be the worst-case scenario if the metrics could not be as successful as we expect them to be.
No, super clear. So just to see if I got it, the double of cost of risk, and cost of risk was 16% this quarter, like, so doubling, like, on the 30% level. That is basically the worst case. If the 9.5 billion of problematic loans you saw during the pandemic, you need to provision for all of it, right? So just to see if I got it properly.
We would expect that the level of cost of risk for Gentera would be around 18 to 19%. What we mean with double was based on the guidance that we gave at the beginning of the year.
Ah, got it. No, got it. I was concerned because for the currency quarter would be a lot of provisions, you know?
No. Double to the guidance that we gave.
Oh,
sorry.
Got it. No. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, between 18 and 19%, between 18 and 20, no, depending on the success of what the Patricio just said.
Our next question comes from Neho Gonzalez, HSBC.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. This is Neha Gonzalez from HSBC. Just to clarify on the delinquent portfolio that you mentioned between 8 to 90 days, this is 2.9 billion in Mexico only, right? Not for the entire business.
Yes.
And
this is Mexico. Again, the thing is that in Guatemala and Peru, the deferral process started on July. So by the end of this month, we could analyze and tell exact trends of how the portfolio is performing. As I said, more customers in the Peruvian business are repaying their loans. But yes, the amount of money that I talked about is what we've seen in Mexico so far since we started earlier than Peru and Guatemala.
Okay. So the cost of risk that you're mentioning, 18 to 20% cost of risk for the year, this is considering the stress scenarios, considering the 2.9 billion, which is only Mexico. It does not include a third of your portfolio, which is Peru and Guatemala. So once you have more information on those, is it reasonable to expect that in a very bad scenario, this cost of risk could be even higher than 18 and 20 because this does not include Peru and Guatemala today?
Let me answer that. It could include somehow, because remember what we were doing in Mexico was creating additional reserves. while the regulatory programs were in place. So what is good news is that, the rhythm that we use creating a reserves in March, April, and May, when we ran the portfolio, the existing portfolio as of June 30, using the regulatory methodology, we had reserves basically the same level each month. So at this point, we already have the right levels of reserves for Mexico. In Peru, we also have been having additional reserves complementing the regulatory methodology. And as I mentioned, still in the numbers of June, we have 279 million pesos of that additional reserve. So once this month finishes and with the encouraging results that we're seeing so far in Peru, we believe that the number that will come out using the regulatory methodology will be in line with what the current level of allowances we have in the balance. So we think that we have covered that so far.
Okay. And if just talking about trends, it appears that the third and the fourth quarter are going to see similar levels of impact on the NII and provisions. The provisions are going to remain high, and interest income is going to be impacted because of this grace period. And probably first quarter of next year, we can see some improvement, but growth in portfolio and reduction in provisions will only happen in 2Q21. And beyond, after that, we can see improvement in business activity. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have. Yes, the impact again as the portfolio contracts because we could write up loans, delinquent loans during this pandemic in this 2020. For 2021, we need to continue growing as the market opportunity is present. And yes, this is basically a 2-year impact in order to come back to where we were. I'm talking about Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but in 2021, we should expect the provision level to come down to, say, the cost of risk could be, say, 10-12%. Does that sound reasonable, or do you see more impact?
As I said, no, the provisioning for the delinquent loans caused by this pandemic should be 100% generated during this 2020 fiscal year.
Okay.
Because we write up loans with 180 days of arrears, right?
Yes.
So to do so, we need to be 100% covered of such delinquent portfolio. So we expect the full impact of the COVID-19 on the provisioning side this 2020. Therefore, the provisioning level for new originated loans in the 2021 fiscal year should not be as high as we seen in this year.
And how about NII?
Or if you want, it should be normalized. Assuming
yes.
that this is the only impact that we have when we finish all this refinancing effort, and once that refinance portfolio is fully renewed under normal conditions, then we would expect to come back to and that's what we were saying, to similar levels to what we have seen in the past. But obviously, we still have to go through this process that we start. We're just beginning. And in NII, it should be the same. When we start renewing and going back to the normal methodology and growing the portfolio back, then we would start again picking up on NII. Number one, NII levels should start growing because of interest income. Second, interest expenses. At some point, we will see in the future what levels of liquidity we really require. As you have seen, we had a little increase in interest expenses because of the liquidity that we gather, but we can obviously at some point have a more optimal level of interest expenses, and provision would be normalized. So all of that should make that the margin improve and come back to the normal level that we were seeing in the last year and first quarter before the provision.
Understood. And then lastly, on NPL ratio, will we see aggressive write-offs in the fourth quarter, which will bring down the NPL ratio, or when do you think the NPL ratio will peak?
It will come up by the end of the year. The NPLs have been affected by the deferrals, no? And since all of the deferral period, all of the NPLs were all of the portfolio was kept current, then the impact starts aging, as Patricia was describing. So the key thing is to make sure that this 8 to 90 non-performing loans are contained in order to minimize them becoming NPL over 90 days. But we still think that we expect that NPL would grow, but the way we put it all together is with the cost of risk that we are providing.
Okay. Very helpful. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Thomas Eldeldo.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to the questions. And I just wanted to follow up.
I think we lost you.
Yeah, Thomas,
hello?
Hello?
Thomas, we lost you.
Hello, Thomas, are you there? We have no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, let me just take this opportunity to wrap up the Q&A session with two or three things that I think are important. As you can see, for the following months, our focus has to be on restructuring and the quality of the portfolio. And I think we believe we are financially strong to face this following month. And on the other hand, as Patricio has explained, we have a future opportunity starting in 2021, because we believe the market share we have can increase because of the unemployment that will move to self-employment, and that's something that in our business has proven to happen every time, and also because competition is struggling in terms of liquidity, so we believe that we can capture this market. So in general, I believe that that's what we are talking about, and of course our priority in the following weeks and months is restructuring and portfolio control. I don't know if Thomas there now.
He is not.
Okay. Do you have any other question?
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no questions in the queue.
Okay, so let me just close with some points here that I believe are important. As you can see, the months to come will be full of challenges in a still very uncertain environment. However, we really feel strong in two main things. The first one, we have a clear strategy and action plan in place. And the second one is that we have the best management and operational team to execute the plan. So
I feel really proud of how our team has responded to this crisis. I feel also very supported by them and by our board members. They have been constantly present and supported at every step of the journey. I also want to thank to all our business partners and suppliers for your support. And of course, thank you to all our investors and shareholders for the trust that you have shown in our clients, in our business, and in our management team. So let me just finish by saying that our commitment as management is based on two things. The first one, we will do everything that is needed to be side by side with our customers during this difficult time. And the second one, we will make the best from this global crisis, learning and becoming a better company once we get together to the other side of the storm. So thank you so much for your attention and have a nice day. I hope we can talk in the next quarter.